an elderly man was stopped by a police officer who asked him why he was driving 66 miles an hour when the speed limit was 35. The man replied, "But officer, I saw a sign that read 66. The officer patiently explained, "Mister, that's the route number, not the speed limit. That's Route 66. "Oh my goodness, officer," the man exclaimed. "It's a good thing you didn't see me on the 101. For the past few months, we've been focusing our attention on 1 Peter. It's a short letter towards the back of your Bible written by the Apostle Peter. And the theme of this epistle is hope in a hostile world. Peter was writing to Christians who were scattered due to persecution. He calls them exiles. Exiles. Aliens. Strangers. It's a letter filled with hope and encouragement to those living in a hostile world. That's why I chose it. I think we are living in a hostile world. Less and less tolerance towards Christianity and more hostility. When I started the series, I imagined it to go a little faster. It's a short book. I thought, this will be a breeze. Like the little old man on the 101, I was going to be pedal to the metal. I was going to get right through this book. But I've been prompted to slow down. I am discovering truths that won't allow me to accelerate. I sense the need to pause more and reflect more, to take time to really apply what we're reading. Rather than have it go in one ear and out the other, I want it to stop somewhere in the middle as we think about it. So we're going to crawl along through this book, it looks like. We're only covering a couple verses today. We're going to cover verse 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, a verse we looked at last week, but I skipped over a phrase on purpose. We're picking it up today. And then verses 9 and 10. Those are the scriptures that you had in your scripture reading. If you have a Bible, you can follow along there. We'll also be displaying the verses. It is filled with more truth, even these two verses, than I can really unpack in the next 30 minutes. But we're going to at least scratch the surface, and we're going to have to move forward next time. I hope we'll all benefit from what we learned. I've titled my message today, Our Identity in Christ. Our Identity in Christ. One of the key words in this passage is you are. You are this, you are that, and we're going to come to that. Who are you? Knowing who we are determines how we live. Knowing who we are determines how we live. Do you agree with that statement? I do. When we truly understand who we are in Christ, it should affect how we live. We're a son of the King. We're spiritual royalty. We're priests in God's kingdom. When we discover our true identity in Christ, it should motivate us to live a life pleasing to God. But the opposite is also true. If we don't understand who we are in Christ, we may fail to comprehend our true identity. Then we may end up living in defeat and in discouragement. We may wonder if God has forgotten us. Well, this passage is going to remind us that God hasn't forgotten us, and He will exalt us in due time. I believe Peter wrote this letter to encourage believers who are suffering. That seems to be the theme. Suffering from feelings of rejection. Likely they are downcast, they're discouraged, defeated. After all, they were being persecuted for their faith. I don't know about you, but when I get picked on, it has a tendency to knock my wind out. How about you? Emperor Nero was arresting Christians, even executing them in very creative ways. I've told you about that before. These Christians were being chased from their homelands. They were relocating in foreign places, and you know what it's like to relocate in a foreign place. You're a stranger. Wherever they went, they were misunderstood. The Jews, when they found Jews where they went, they were persecuted by the Jews because they were following Jesus. They were rejected. The Gentiles were suspicious of them because they had this weird cult where they drank blood and ate bread and And there's all kinds of controversy around this Christian group. We know that they didn't eat bread or eat flesh or drink blood, but they misunderstood communion. So everywhere they went, they were suspect. They were outcasts, exiles, strangers. That's why they're called exiles. I wonder if they'd forgotten their identity in Christ. They felt all alone out there, scattered. So Peter writes a book. He says, "You who are scattered abroad, I'm going to write this book to encourage you." I wonder if they'd forgotten who they are in Christ. Maybe they'd begun to believe the world's accusations, and that led them to be discouraged and have feelings of rejection. So Peter wrote this letter to encourage discouraged Christians. That's it. This book is encouraging. He wanted to remind them that though they may be rejected by the world, they are accepted by God. Though they may be hated by the society around them, they are loved by God. And ultimately, that's what matters. Jesus was hated. He was rejected. He was called a man of sorrows. But God demonstrated his love toward Jesus by raising him from the dead and exalting him to a name above all names. We read about that last Sunday in this chapter, verses 4, that Jesus was this living stone. But this stone that should have been the foundation of Christianity and is the foundation of Christianity, the world rejected him, and that stone became their stumbling block and their doom. But God remembered him. God accepted him. God exalted him. We read in verse 7 that the stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone, the choice stone. So in chapter 2, Peter is reminding us and these rejected Christians that he's writing to, that God will exalt them in due time. They may go through rejection and suffering, as Jesus did, but God will exalt them in due time. Peter reminds them of who they are in Christ. He reminds them of their true identity in Christ. Kind of reminds me of Clark Kent. You know, he looks plain and ordinary, milk toast kind of a guy, but he's really Superman inside. That's what God is saying to us, is that we are special. We are God's creation. We're his children. And don't worry about what the world says about you. So glancing through this chapter, we see several statements about our identity in Christ. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share those with you. They're in the bulletin. I'm going to share 5 identity markers that we can claim as Christians. 5 statements that tell us who we are. And I'm sure there's many more than 5, but 5 is where I decided to stop. So number 1, first identity marker is we are children in God's family. When you feel discouraged and you feel like you're being rejected, just stop and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child in God's kingdom. Several times Peter has referred to being born again, being born again. That's a reference to being born into God's family. And in chapter 2, this chapter we're in, verse 2, it says, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow. So we are children in God's family. 1 John 1:12 promises, as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. So this is our first identity truth, is we are children in God's family. That statement should reassure us of God's love for us. He hasn't forgotten us. He doesn't forget his children. He's brought us into his spiritual family. He will never cut us off. He loves us as a father loves a child. So as a Christian, I can confidently say, I am a child in God's family. Can you say that? Are you a child in God's family? Have you received Jesus Christ? I hope you have. Well, that's marker number 1. Marker number 2 is we are stones in God's house. We are stones. Peter's using metaphors. We're obviously not rocks. We're not stones. In the same way that Peter's name was changed from Simon to Peter the rock, we're told that we're rocks in God's house. We discussed this last week. Christ is the living stone, verse 4, on which we build our lives. He's our sure foundation, the cornerstone. But he goes on to say that we are also living stones with which Christ builds his church. We are like building blocks for the church. Jesus promised, I will build my church. And he's building it one block at a time, one person at a time, one soul at a time. Together, we make up the spiritual house of God. The church is not a building, it's a people. And each person who is born again into God's family is one of those building blocks. So that's our identity truth. We are stones. I like the fact that it's something solid and something buildable. Stones, but they're living stones. We're growing. Do you sometimes feel forgotten? Left out? Rejected? God sees you as an important part of his church. He needs every block. He wants you. He loves you. You are one of his precious living stones. I'm going to interrupt this message to teach you a song. Are you ready for a song? A song based on this verse about living stones. You've not heard it before. It's new to every one of you except for Rachel. She'll remember it. Here's what the words look like. Notice there's an echo. So this can be easy to teach. I'm going to sing the white phrase, and you're going to echo the exact phrase back. So you can't really flub up too much. I can flub up. Build this house with the song of Zion. Build this house with the song of the Lord. Build this house with the song of Zion. Build this house with the song of the Lord. Your own living stones made for your pleasure, Lord. Build this house with the song of Zion. Build this house with the song of the Lord. Build this house with the song of Zion. Build this house with the song of the Lord. We are Christ's living stones, and Christ is building his house from us. So each one of us is an important part of the family of God, the church of God. So as a Christian, I can confidently say, I am a stone in God's house. I'm important. Let's go to our third of five identity markers. Number 3, we are priests in God's temple. Now, up to this point, everything I've said kind of is a reflection of last week's sermon, but we're moving into new territory, into new verses. We are priests in God's temple. This truth is found twice in this chapter. In 1 Peter 2:5, we read, you also, as living stones, are being built up for a spiritual house. That was last point, wasn't it? That was our song. For a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter calls his readers the scattered, rejected, lonesome Christians. He says, you're priests. Think of yourselves a little higher than exiles and aliens. You're priests. And he calls us as Christians, a holy priesthood. You're priests, and I'm a priest. Now, I don't always feel like a priest. We don't always act like a priest, but God sees us as priests, as saints. Now let's talk about the Old Testament priests for a minute. Remember, they were set aside for the Lord's service. They served in the temple. We know lots of those stories in the Old Testament about the priests. They had greater access to God. They could go into the temple, and the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and have access to God. And they offered sacrifices to God. This is all part of their duties as a priest. They had privileges that common people didn't as a priest. Now, surprisingly, Peter says, no, wait a minute. Don't worry about that class of priests. That's over. We're all priests now. All believers are priests. So like the Old Testament priests, we are called to serve God. Now, we're not limited to a building like a temple or a tabernacle. We serve God in the world. This is his building. This is his tabernacle. We serve God here. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are serving God wherever we go as priests, as representatives of God. Now, we have direct access to God. We don't have to go through the Holy of Holy. We go straight to Jesus. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our high priest. We are priests. He's our high priest. So we can go directly to Christ. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So we don't have to go to a temple or talk to a man. We don't have to confess our sins to a priest. The priesthood is over because we're all priests. We offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, the priests offered animal sacrifices. We offer spiritual sacrifices. And there's lots of verses about that, but offering a sacrifice of praise such as that. But the verse that comes to my mind, well, let's look at verse 5 first. It says, you also as living stones are built up as a spiritual house to offer a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. There's that word. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, that are acceptable to God through Christ. So what verse came to your mind when you saw that? Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Romans 12:1, right? Right? Let's take a look at it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That's the same words. Same words as Peter used, which is your spiritual service of worship. So we offer sacrifice. We're like priests, but we don't do animal sacrifices. We offer the sacrifice of our bodies, of our worship, of our time. When I think of bodies, sometimes we think we give Jesus our heart. Well, that's kind of a spiritual thing, but I think he means it literally. We give Jesus our hands. We serve with our hands, with our feet, with our mouth. We speak for him. We are priests who represent God the Father. We should serve him with all our being. That's when it says bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It means put yourself on the altar to serve God every day and in every way. Peter mentioned our priesthood again in this chapter in verse 9. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a mouthful, isn't it? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You know, there's a doctrine. It's called the priesthood of believers. I've already been kind of talking about it. It means that all Christians are called to be priests or ministers. Every member is a minister. I don't mean member of this church. I mean member of God's church. If you are a born-again believer, you are a minister. You are a priest. That's what this teaches us. You don't have to be a professional clergy or go to Bible college to be used of God. Every person has gifts and abilities and should be using them to serve God. We are a royal priesthood. You don't have to become a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. Any believer can have a ministry. Any believer. And every believer should have a ministry. That's what this is saying. You are priests. You are a royal spiritual priesthood. I've enjoyed being a pastor for 40 years, 20 years here and 20 years before at another church. And there's no greater privilege in the world than being a pastor. I don't know why more people aren't doing it. It's the greatest job in the world. I get to teach God's word to God's people. God's word is eternal. God's people are eternal. I get to see lives changed as people surrender to Christ, transformed. I get to see children born and then later dedicated. And then later, as they become bigger and understand their faith, they get baptized. And then I get to do their weddings. And I get to be there when their children are born. I get to be a part of celebrating their lives and sharing their sorrows. I mean, could there be a better job in the world than I have? I get to participate in advancing God's kingdom in a very active way. I wouldn't trade my calling for any other. But there are places I cannot go as a pastor. I can't go to your school and minister in your school. I can't go into your workplace and talk to your coworkers. I can't reach your customers, your neighbors, but you can. That's why you are a priest. That's why God has given you this responsibility. You are an undercover minister. God calls you a priest. So you got to think of yourselves that way. That's your identity markers. I am representing God. I'm an ambassador for Christ. That's why we're called priests. We are saved to serve. We're called to serve, to reach the world. God wants to reach the world through you, not just through the pastor, but through the kingdom of priests. So identity truth here is we are priests in God's temple, God's spiritual temple. As a Christian, I can confidently say, I am a priest in God's temple. Our fourth identity marker is we are citizens of God's kingdom. We are citizens of God's kingdom. That also is in verse 9. Let me read it again. But you, by the way, verse 8 says, but they are doomed, they who stumble over Jesus. So there's a contrast. They are this, you are this. This is your identity. He says, you are a chosen race. These are all terms that were used for the Jews in the Old Testament. But Peter is applying this to all Christians. He says, you now are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That interesting phrase there, the people for God's own possession. You know what that is in King James? You are a peculiar people. That's the only version that has that word, peculiar. But what it means is you are special. It doesn't mean peculiar as in odd. It means you are somebody that God possesses, God owns. We learn here that God chooses us. We're a chosen race out of this world. And that we literally belong to him. We are people for God's own possession. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, we read in the scriptures. Now, I know the Bible also teaches that we choose him. Here it says that we are a chosen race, but I know that the Bible tells us, choose you this day whom you will serve. We must choose. That's one of those mysteries in the Bible where you see the sovereignty of God, God calling, God choosing, and that's what we see here in Peter. But we also see the choice of man where we must choose him or walk away without him. Remember that rich young ruler who was so close to following Christ and he walked away without him? He had a choice. He made a poor choice. Those who belong to Christ have a new allegiance, new loyalty, new citizenship. We now belong to Christ and his kingdom. We're no longer defined by our race or our nationality. Christ's church is made up of people from every race, every creed, every color. It's a new kind of race. And we are citizens of Christ's kingdom, citizens of heaven. So as a Christian, I can confidently say, I am a citizen of God's kingdom. I'm not rejected. I'm not forgotten by God. I'm a citizen. I'm part of his family. Let's consider one more identity marker. This one might scare you. We are preachers of God's truth. We are preachers. We already said we're priests. We're also preachers. Take a look at this verse one more time. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim. So that you may proclaim. God has chosen you not to sit and sour and soak and just blend in. God has chosen you to speak up, to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we're not only priests, we're preachers, we're proclaimers. We carry the message to the world. God is not communicating his message through angels. He's communicating it through priests, through you and through me, through people. We are his ambassadors. God has chosen us and called us and commissioned us so that we might proclaim, so that we might worship, so that we might represent him in the world. That so that tells us there's a purpose for our life. Obviously, not everyone is a vocational preacher like myself, but we must all be willing to share our faith, to share our testimony. Notice it talked about share about him who called you out of darkness into his light. That's your testimony. God called me out of darkness and brought me into the light. That's all you need to share. You don't have to be an expositor, a preacher in that sense. Just proclaim what God has done in your life. So as a Christian, I can confidently say I am a spokesman. I am a preacher of God's truth. I want to conclude this section with one more verse. This is that testimony verse also. Verse 10. For you were once not a people. He just said you're a chosen people. He says you were once not a people. But now you are the people of God. Isn't that great for your identity? You are one of God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Peter is reminding us of our past and our present, and that's our testimony. I was this way, now I'm this way. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was in the realm of darkness, now I'm in the realm of light. That's what we're to be sharing and preaching and proclaiming to the world. In Christ, we have received mercy. Amen? Aren't you glad? If God had no mercy, we would all be lost. In Christ, we are included into God's family, the family of God. Have you come to Christ yet? I'm assuming most of you have, but you know there's strangers that come in each Sunday, people I don't know, and I don't know where you're at, so it's my obligation to say, trust Christ. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Ask God for mercy. Ask God for forgiveness, and turn your life over to him from this day forth and forever. So you can say, I was once lost, but now, as of today, I'm found. Have you found, been found? Have you given your heart to Christ? You know, you don't have to pray a certain words, but in your own heart, in sincerity, say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost without you. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to be part of your family. Let me read that verse again. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. If you receive Christ today, you can become one of his children. You can do that in the silence and of your own heart right now. As we close, let me remind you of the five descriptions of the Christian found here in 1 Peter 2. We are children in God's family. We are stones. Let's hold off on that slide just for a second. We are stones in God's house. We are priests in God's temple. We are citizens in God's kingdom. And we are preachers of God's truth. Those are all things we can say. And that's what I want us to do now with that last slide. I want us to restate these in the first person. I want you to restate them with me. And I want you to write those down so that when you're discouraged, you can say these things and remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Let's begin. I am a child in God's family. I am a stone in God's house. I am a priest in God's temple. I am a citizen of God's kingdom. I am a preacher of God's truth. Amen? Are you those things?
Amen.
Then don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Let's pray.